Good morning, my name's Kathy, and we're going to read the Bible together. If you'd like to follow on, it's Hebrews chapter 12. It's on page 1069 in the Pew Bible. If you'd like a Bible, just put your hand up and you can follow along too. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble by it and defiling many. And make sure there isn't any immoral or irreverent person like Esau, who sold his birthright in exchange for one meal. For you know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected because he didn't find any opportunity for repentance, though he sought it with tears. For you have not come to what could be touched, to a blazing fire, the darkness, gloom, and storm, to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words. Those who heard it begged that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not bear what was commanded. And even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The appearance was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am terrified and trembling." Instead, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels in festive gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn whose names have been written in heaven, to God who is the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous people made perfect, to Jesus, mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which says better things than the blood of Abel. Make sure that you do not reject the one who speaks. For if they did not escape when they rejected him who warned them on earth, even less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven. His voice shook the earth at that time, but now he has promised, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven." This expression, "yet once more," indicates the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what is not shaken might remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us hold on to grace. By it, we may serve God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to see you here today. My name is Adrian. Welcome to church, and welcome to the beginning of our year in many ways as our ministries get up and running, and welcome to our new series as we work our way through the Bible, thinking about what God has to say about church. We have all sorts of thoughts about church and all sorts of expectations and experiences and assumptions. What does God have to say about church? Extremely irrelevant for us to hear, and so I'm looking forward to spending the next 5 weeks digging deep into God's Word, thinking about church. And in part we need to, because English is stupid. The English language is stupid. I spent most of my arts degree coming up with 1,000 different ways to spell fish, and you can ask me later, the 1,000 different ways, my favourite is UUC, can be spelt fish in English. It's just dumb. That's how English works. U from lieutenant, U from busy, C from ocean. Somehow that makes fish. English is stupid. Do you know there's a bunch of English words that mean the opposite of themselves? I mean, that's impressive. That actually mean the opposite, like oversight. Oversight means to take care of and look after. Oversight means to have not looked after or taken care of. Or left. I mean, when the gentlemen withdraw from the lounge room, who's left? Because the men have left and the women are left. It means the opposite, or dust. Does dust mean to remove or to sprinkle? So you actually dust the crops, or you dust the cake, or you dust the shelves. It means the opposite of each other. What else have we got? Cleave means to join things together or split things apart. How does that work? You know, something's cloven, it's separated, or you cleave together. Off means to deactivate. You turn this off. But the alarm went off means it turned on. You screen a movie means to show it. Or you screen the ugly part of your backyard means to hide it. There's so many things in English that just mean the opposite of each other. The reason we need to think about this, not about that stuff, but the reason is because of the word church. That actually, it's a word that we think, yeah, I've heard that all the time, I know what it means, but it has so many different meanings and usages. And so as we're thinking about the church, it's worth being super clear. What do we mean when we say it? Because church has so many meanings. It can mean a building. We very often refer to this building as the church. It can mean a religious service. We talk about going to church. It can mean the whole body of Christian believers, the universal church. It can mean a denomination, the Anglican Church or the Presbyterian Church. It can mean a Christian congregation, 9 a.m. church. An organized religion as opposed to the government, church versus state. It can mean the ministry. Someone left their career and went into the church. The same word, so many different meanings. We need to be really clear. So what is the church? More importantly, what does the Bible tell us? Because you think, yeah, I know it. I've got all my assumptions and expectations. But what does God himself tell us is the church that he created? What is the church for? What should we be doing? How should we be doing it? That's why we're beginning this series together, looking at the Bible. We're looking at biblical images of the church. Today we're looking at the church is the gathering. Then it's the church is the lampstand. The church is the body. The church is the bride. The church is the temple. But begin with the idea of the church is the gathering. Church literally means people gathered. That's the core basic meaning of the word. Not the building, not the hierarchy of bishops, not the denomination, but people gathered. Us being here together. We could be in this building, we could be in the backyard, we could be out on the street, but us being gathered together is what church means. You see this in a very surprising place. A bunch of references are going to come up on the screen. But in Acts chapter 19, Paul and his friends are in a city called Ephesus. And there's a bit of a problem because the silversmiths who make all the idols, the statues people bow down and worship as their gods, starting to go out of business because Paul has been bringing the truth of the real God who created everything. People aren't buying idols anymore. But look at what happens in Acts 19 verse 23. About that time there was a major disturbance about the way. That's what Christianity was called in the early days. For a person named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, provided a great deal of business for the craftsmen, and when he had assembled them, as well as the workers engaged in this type of business, he said, "Men, you know that our prosperity is derived from this business." And that word assembled is the word church. Simple word, just means people gathered. It goes on in verse 32. Some were shouting one thing and some another, because the assembly was in confusion and most of them didn't know why they had come together. Now, maybe that describes your regular experience of church. There's shouting, which leads to confusion, and you don't really know why you're here at all. Maybe that's what Sunday morning feels like to you. But in this particular assembly or gathering or church in Ephesus, it's kind of a riot. They don't know what's going on, but they're all gathered together. And then right at the end of the chapter, the town clerk comes to the riot. And after saying this, he dismissed the assembly, the church, the gathering. The word the Bible uses for church is not a special word. It's not a holy, mystical word. It's just an ordinary, everyday word for ordinary, everyday people assembling or meeting or gathering. And that's what we do. We assemble, we meet, we gather. Doesn't matter what building we're in. Doesn't matter what we're wearing, we gather. You see, the Bible is interested in a very specific gathering, though, a specific church. There are lots of reasons humans church together. Why do we gather together? Maybe to watch some sport, maybe to hear some music, maybe to get a job done. We gather together, or maybe to riot like in Ephesus. Lots of reasons humans gather, but the Bible is the story of the gathering, the assembling of God's people. And this idea appears early in the Old Testament. It's not as if the Old Testament is just about Israel. The New Testament, now that Jesus has come, is about the church. We actually hear a reference to the original assembly or church in Stephen's speech, where he defends from Scripture and presents the message of Jesus. So in Acts chapter 7, as he's schooling these religious leaders on the Scriptures that they should know, he says, "This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, 'God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers and sisters.'" He's talking about Jesus there. "Moses is the one who was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our ancestors. He received living oracles to give us." Moses gathering and assembling the people at Mount Sinai as part of the Exodus is called here the church. And did you notice when God had assembled his people, it was more than just a gathering. It was more than just you're all standing there clumped in one place, because in the midst of this assembly, God spoke. God gave living oracles, living words, living revelations of himself. Because whenever God gathers his people, he instructs them and teaches them. He gives them his word and his promise. He gives them his commandments. He reveals himself. That's why he gathers people. And his word is alive and powerful and active and real. And you see this in Deuteronomy. You go back to Moses himself describing that day when Israel had gathered around Mount Sinai. Deuteronomy 4, verse 10. "The day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb," is another way of saying Mount Sinai, Horeb, "the Lord said to me, 'Assemble the people before me, and I will let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on earth and may instruct their children.'" God says to Moses, "Assemble them, church them, gather them." Why? "To hear my words, so they will fear me as long as they live and instruct their children." I mean, again, it's there in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Moses refers to it. He says, "On the day of the assembly," the day of the church, he says, "the day we got together, the Lord gave me the two stone tablets inscribed by God's finger. The exact words were on them which the Lord spoke to you from the fire on the mountain." So you see, the biblical idea of church is people gathered around God's word. Christians getting together to have a working bee is a great thing, but church, the assembly the Bible is interested in, is people gathered to hear God's word. Because there's even more going on when we church together. When we meet and assemble, like we've done this morning, when we gather together to hear God's word, you know what Jesus himself says? The Lord Jesus says, "When two or three of you are gathered in my name, I am there among them. I am in your midst," he says. "I am with you when you gather and when you hear my word." Because Jesus is the word of God. He is with us when he speaks, as his spirit breathes the Bible into our hearts. Church is God's people gathered around Christ in his word. And what that means is the most important thing we do whenever we gather is to hear the Bible read and taught. And we know this because God tells us. The center of our gathering and our meeting together, the absolute priority, nothing can get in the way of this, whenever we assemble together, is to hear God speak through his word, the Bible. Our focus isn't singing. It's a brilliant thing to do. We love it. Our focus isn't morning tea. That is fantastic. It's awesome. Our focus is God's Word. It's the reason we meet. It gives shape to our meeting. It feeds and nourishes us spiritually until we're able to meet together again. But ultimately, in God's Word, we meet Christ and He is present with us. That's the reason we put Bible teaching front and center in our gatherings. Because God does. And because Jesus is front and center in everything we do. The church is God's people gathered around Christ in His Word. And we kind of get that in our reading today from Hebrews 12. It's not going to be up on the screen, but hopefully you have it open from our Bible reading. One of the things that I find super encouraging when I look out at church on a Sunday morning, one of the things I love to see is when the Bible reading is happening, I see people's heads bowed down as they're reading along, either on their device or in their Bible, following along and reading for themselves. I love it. It's great. We're taking God's Word seriously. But Hebrews 12 is about the church as the gathering. We don't have time to look at it in super detail, but it presents this contrast, doesn't it, with the original assembly, the original day of the church around Mount Sinai, we just heard from Deuteronomy, and it contrasts that with our experience of church today, what we have in Jesus. And look at the contrast up on the screen. And the old assembly, which is at Mount Sinai under Moses, now we have the new assembly, which Hebrews 12 says is in heaven with Christ. The old gathering, the old church was physical. It was a mountain in the wilderness that you weren't allowed to touch, but it was a place. The new gathering is spiritual. It says, we have come to the city of the living God. The old gathering is fire and darkness. You can't come near. You can't touch. The new gathering is angels in festive celebration. It's the joyful gathering of the angels, and we're there partying. The old gathering was gloom and storm, clouds and thick darkness that said you can't approach God. The new gathering is called the assembly of the firstborn. It's the get-together of those who will inherit, the heirs, the beloved children. That's how God now sees us. The old gathering is about fear and death. You touch the mountain, you'll die. Any animal touches the mountain, they'll die. Lightning and thunder. The new gathering is we've come to God the judge, but without fear, because we've come to the gathering of the spirits of the righteous made perfect. In this gathering, if you've been invited, if you've been included, if you're in this new gathering in Christ, then you are declared righteous. You are washed clean, made perfect, and have no fear standing before the judge of the universe. It's a very different gathering. And all of this is because in this gathering, this new gathering, we have come to Jesus. Hebrews 12 says, you've come to Jesus and to the blood that speaks a better word. The old gathering was to hear the priest say, you have sinned and an animal needs to die for your sin and blood needs to be shed every day, every week, every month. You've sinned, blood needs to be shed. Now we gather together to hear the blood speak, the blood of Jesus say, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. And there's no more blood that needs to be shed. Once and for all, you're loved. You're forgiven. That's an awesome word. That's why we gather, to hear that word. You're forgiven. Notice the massive contrast. It's a gathering, but it's so different now. And in Hebrews 12, it's not, you will one day come to that gathering with the angels in heaven, city of the living God, be forgiven. It's not one day you will participate in that awesome get-together. You have come. We are gathered there now. That's why we meet together like this, to remind ourselves that really, spiritually, God says, we're gathered with Him in heaven. It's easy to forget because we can't see it. that we gather together. Church is the local gathering of God's people around Christ in His Word that reflects the heavenly gathering. Can you see how enormously significant church is? And you may have thought church was a club that you had to join, or it was a duty that you had to perform, or it was a hoop that you had to jump through, or it was a punishment you have to endure. But to God, the gathering of His people together is a really big deal. Because think about the opposite. Think about the alternative. There's a few times in the Bible where God does the opposite of church. He does the opposite of gathering. I mean, right at the very beginning of the Bible, in creation, we see humanity is created to be friends with God, connected and in the presence of God, and friends with each other, united and joined together. The two will become one. We're created to be friends with God and friends with each other. But when Adam and Eve disobey God, rebel against God, reject God, He punishes them by sending them out of paradise, out of Eden, out of His presence. They're separated and cut off from Him and from each other in a sense, as hostility grows and separation and enmity that you see in their son Cain killing his brother Abel. Humanity is scattered as God's judgment. A little later in Genesis 11, humanity tries to get together, but not around God, but in pride and an attempt to put themselves in God's place by building the Tower of Babel. And what does God do in response? He scatters them, separates them by means of languages, and spreads them out. Scattering is judgment. In fact, in Deuteronomy 4, where Moses had just been reminding Israel, remember the day when God gathered and assembled us together, a little later, a few verses later, in Deuteronomy 4:25, he says, when you have children and grandchildren and you've been in the land a long time, if you act corruptly and make an idol in the form of anything and do what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, angering Him, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today. You will quickly perish from the land you're about to cross the Jordan to possess. You will not live long there, but you'll certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you'll be reduced to a few survivors among the nations where the Lord your God will drive you. Hear that? God who gathered Israel together out of Egypt, gathered them so that they would hear Him and fear Him and teach their children. He warns them, you reject me and go off with idols, I will scatter you. The one who had gathered them in salvation, gathered them into covenant relationship, scatters them among the nations. And we see that in the exile. Israel is scattered. But if scattering is God's judgment on people, gathering is His salvation. Assembling His people to church together. Gathering His people to be united to Himself and to one another is salvation. So you may wonder sometimes, what have you achieved by coming to church? What have I accomplished by going to church on Sunday? I'm not allowed to keep a star chart of my spiritual awesomeness, but what have I actually achieved? What have I got out of it? Because I could have mowed the lawn, or washed the car. I could have tidied the house or done an assignment. I could have figured what sparks joy in my garage. There's all sorts of things I could do. What have you accomplished by coming to church? Quite a lot, the Bible says, whether you realize it or not. Let's have a look at some passages in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, this is an epic chapter. That's all about, it starts with how God has blessed us in the heavenly realms, where we are, gathered around in that heavenly assembly. God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We have them all of God's spiritual blessings. Everything He's got to bless us with, we have them in Christ, and it lists them off. He chose us to be holy and blameless. Holiness and blamelessness is a blessing. He predestined us to be adopted, His children. What a blessing. He redeemed us, bought us out of slavery. He lavished wisdom and understanding on us. All these amazing things then leads to verse 9 of Ephesians 1, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he purposed in Christ, as a plan for the right time, to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and on earth, in him. The secret of God's plan and purpose for all of time. What God has always been doing and always will be doing, no one knew, but now it's revealed, is to bring everything together in Christ, to unite all things and gather all things together in Christ. That's what God has been working towards for all of time. But then look at what he says about church at the end of chapter 1 in verse 22. It says, he, God, subjected everything under his, Jesus, feet, and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. God's purpose is to bring everything together in heaven and on earth, united in Christ, and to establish Jesus as the head of everything for the church. He does it for us gathered. And then he describes us gathered. He describes this assembly, the gathering of his people, by saying Jesus' rule, Jesus' conquest, Jesus' supremacy is for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things. The church, the local gathering of believers around Christ in his word, is the fullness of God. Now, it feels ordinary to us to be here, doesn't it? It looks ordinary to us. Just look at Mark. No, it looks ordinary to us. Seems weak and feeble and either irrelevant or actually kind of offensive to the world. But God says, no, this is my fullness. And that's saying something, isn't it? Listen to what Ephesians goes on to say about the church in chapter 3, verse 20. Paul breaks into this almost song of praise, considering what God has done in uniting Jews and Gentiles together as one in the church. And he says in verse 20 of chapter 3, now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God is amazing, and he deserves glory. He deserves honor. He deserves all glory and all honor for all generations forever. But did you see where his glory is displayed? Where his glory is demonstrated? Where is God's glory revealed and on show for everyone to see? To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Because the church is the body of Christ Jesus. The church is the fullness of God. God's glory is revealed in this gathering, in his people assembling and overcoming the barriers and dividing walls of sin and the law and death and our selfishness. God gathers and unites people into the church and to himself, and it's glorious. Because he does it in the glorious Christ and in his death and resurrection. People often ask the question, what is the mission of the church? Is the church's mission to give me the something I'm missing in my life? Maybe it's to make me feel good. Maybe it's to do works of social justice. Is the purpose of the church to make me better at my job? In which case, work is really the most important thing, isn't it? And church helps me get there. Or is church to help me make more money? In which case, money is really more important because church helps me get that thing. Or is it to help me feel good about myself? In which case, my feelings or myself is more important. The Bible says God's mission has always been to create the church. When we get together, when we assemble, when we gather and meet and church together, this isn't a means to an end. This has been God's plan and purpose all along since before creation. This moment took the death and resurrection of God the Son to make this gathering possible, as it reflects the heavenly gathering. The reason Jesus died and rose again was to unite people to himself and to each other. We express that amazing spiritual reality of what Christ has done. We express that this is God's glory, this is God's plan, this is his eternal purpose every time we gather together to hear his word. His word, not of fear and doubt and uncertainty and you're not good enough, but his word of assurance and promise and forgiveness. His word that speaks of righteousness that we have in Christ through his blood. People often ask what the mission of the church is. Ask them the wrong question. Church is mission accomplished. Church is God's greatest achievement. We don't gather together to achieve something. This isn't the means to an end. Gathering together is the end, the goal, the purpose towards which God has been working, and he was prepared to pay any price, even his son, to make this possible. Why do we gather together for church each week? To be the church. We can't be who we are without each other. Because who we are is the local gathering of believers around Christ in his word, reflecting the spiritual reality in the city of the living God. The mission and purpose of every Christian then is to gather. To gather and get together and assemble and meet. I wonder if we give church the priority that God gives it. I wonder if we put church in the place of importance that God puts it. We should be like magnets who can't help but be drawn together. And sometimes you can force them apart out of necessity. Other things need to happen and get done. But Christians will always be drawn together. We'll always gather because the Spirit of the crucified and risen Christ lives in us and draws us to other Christians. Sometimes I worry that people feel like it's the other way around. We force ourselves together like magnets, kind of opposite or whichever ones repel each other. We force ourselves together for an hour or so, but then naturally, magnetically, we're pushed apart. That's sin. The desire to be separate and have nothing to do with each other, the preference to be on our own on a Sunday morning when we could be gathered, that's sin. We should always be drawn inward, always be drawn together, and always drawing others with us. Because our mission is to gather. Because God's mission has always been to gather us. So we then gather. We seek the lost to come and gather them to see God's glory. So very briefly then, some implications. If church is the gathering of God's people, believers around God in his word, around Christ in his word, if church is the gathering, then gather. Be here. This is enormously significant. It's a spectacular spiritual declaration that you are here. If it's God's people around his word, then believe and be filled with faith. Be here and believe. And if it's around Christ in his word, then listen and learn. Listen and learn. In fact, I want you to take a moment or two and write something down. There's a box in that middle panel of the new sheets that you got where there's space to write notes and the sermon outline. There's a box down the bottom that says implications. I want you to take a minute and write something in that box. Maybe it's something that you learnt today, that English is stupid. Maybe it's something you're going to do as a result. It could be a change of thinking, it could be a change of mindset, it could be a change of action. But if church is God's gathering, if church is God's mission accomplished, What does that mean for you? I'll give us a minute to fill that in, and then the next thing is going to happen shortly.